Matthew 14 in your Bibles, it says there that immediately, and that means that right after something, and Jesus had just fed 5,000 people, 5,000 men, probably 6,000 or 8,000 people, and he fed them with 12 loaves and 3 fishes. And the disciples had come to him, as you might imagine, and the crowds had been coming in throngs and thousands. He told the disciples, and disciples were still operating on a horizontal level. They hadn't gotten the vertical kicked in yet. And so they come to him and say, man, it's getting late. All these people need to head home. Then they need to get something to eat. And he said, why don't you feed them? Now, we only have, there's thousands of people, and we only have 12 loaves and 3 fish. When's the last time you got yourself in a 12 loaves and 3 fish situation? He just said, Lord, we don't have enough. It's like the woman at the well. Where do you get this water? Because I can't get that water. As if Jesus didn't have enough water for her. And of course, she wasn't getting the vertical either, but she got it before that conversation was over. And we keep selling Jesus short on what he can do, I think, and what he's able to do and the power that he has. And so they were so fired up about Jesus at this point, they asked him to be their king, and he says, my kingdom is not of this world. And they were going to force him and take him by force to be their king. And Jesus decided, this thing's going to get out of hand. Even the disciples were on the side of the, let's make Jesus king. So they weren't going to be any help for him in this situation. It's kind of like Peter when he says, no way I'll let that happen to you. And Jesus says, I'm going to go, they'll arrest me, beat me, crucify me, but I'll be raised on the third day. No, I'm not going to let that happen. Get behind me, Satan. When's the last time God said that to you? No, I won't let that happen. No, I can do that. No. And so Jesus sent the crowd away. It says immediately he made the disciples get into a boat. I need you guys out of here, basically, is what he was saying. He had the disciples get into a boat and go ahead of him to the other side while he sent the crowds away. After he had sent the crowds away, he went up on a mountain by himself to pray. And when it was evening, he was there alone with his Father. But the boat was already a long distance from the land, battered by the waves, for the winds were contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, and you know that was about 3 o'clock in the morning, on the fourth watch of the night, he came to them walking on the contrary rough sea. When the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified and said, it's a ghost. And they cried out in fear. But Jesus quickly spoke to them, saying, take courage. It's I. Don't be afraid. And Peter said to him, well, Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water. And so Jesus said, come. And Peter got out of the boat and walked on water and came toward Jesus. But seeing the wind, he became frightened and beginning to sink. He cried out, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and took hold of him and said to him, you of little faith, why did you doubt? And when they got into the boat, the wind stopped. And those who were in the boat worshiped him, saying, you are certainly God's son. Over in John 6, Jesus gave another account of him doing a miracle out in the middle of the Sea of Galilee with these guys when they suddenly a storm came up. He was sleeping in the bow of the boat. You remember this one. And so they woke him up, and he said the same thing, ye of little faith. And then he raised his hand and said, peace be still. The rain stopped. The sea became like glass. The waves quit lapping over the boat that was about to sink them. Peace be still. And their response was, who is this man who even the wind and the waves obey him? Now, they had a little different response in this one. When Jesus came walking on the water, in verse 33, and those who were in the boat worshiped him, saying, you are certainly God's son. Now, this picture the whole thing. Jesus is sending the crowds away. He's quieting down all this, we're going to make you our king. He wasn't about to, I mean, why would he stoop so low to be their king when he's the king of the whole universe? My kingdom is not of this world. And so then he sends the disciples in a boat, and they head out across a contrary sea, rough water. He's up here on the side with his father now praying. Have you ever thought that every time you go through contrary times, and that means incompatible times, things that aren't really going along with your plan, it's not what you had planned for that day, not you had planned for this situation, not what you were expecting. And so it seems like you're rowing and rowing and rowing to no avail. You're not making any progress. You ever felt like that? Go like that. Yeah, you have. You've been in contrary situations. It means incapable of harmonious coexistence. Sometimes I, as sweet and wonderful and angel Susan was, sometimes I felt like we were incapable of harmonious coexistence. Oil and water. Incapable of blending. Clashing, conflicting, discordant, quarrelsome, mutually exclusive. The things that we're more used to than the opposite of those things in this world. Jesus said, in this world, you're going to have times when you're incapable of harmonious coexistence. You're going to have times when oil and water seems to be your situation. You're just not blending. You're not mixing. It's not working. And there are going to be times like that in a fallen world. Sometimes you can control it. Other times it's totally out of your control. You have no ability to hold up your hand and say, peace be still. Oh, yeah, you can say, as he said, as far as it be with you, be at peace with all men. But then you come on down and he showed up walking on water, and it scared the bejeebers out of the disciples. And so they cried out. And he immediately, it says he quickly... He comes quickly when his men are terrified. When the crisis comes and courage is required, God shows up. If we're dependent on him, if we cry out to him, he shows up. And he showed up here and quickly spoke and said, take courage, it's me. Don't be afraid. Now again, if you want to have a fun study, I don't know if it's fun or not, but if you want to have a study and look up how many times God in the scriptures said, don't be afraid, don't be fearful, don't be anxious, don't anxiously look around you. And then how often in the gospels he said to his disciples and others, why did you doubt me? I mean, how long are we going to have to be Christians before Paul writes this to us in 1 Corinthians 3? And I, brethren, could not speak to you as spiritual men, but as men of flesh, as to infants in Christ. I gave you milk to drink, not solid food, for you are not yet able to receive it. Indeed, you're not able to receive it still, for you're still unspiritual, you're worldly, you're fleshly. For since there is jealousy and strife among you, are you not fleshly, and are you not walking like mere ordinary men? There's a challenge for us, guys. Walking like mere ordinary men when you have the Spirit in you that can walk on water. Now, we know that this is an illustration. We know Jesus, if we believe Scripture and we believe it to be literally accurate and true. This wasn't just something that the writers of the Gospels threw in there to make a point. Jesus walked on water and Peter walked on water. Now, the question is, are you walking on water in the circumstance of the contrary winds that are blowing against you now in your life? I mean, how many messages like this do you need to hear? How many times do you need to go to church? How many quiet times do you need to have before he quits looking at you going, oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt me? Well, Lord, you can't expect me to trust you like that or just let go in this situation. I have to be in control here because I'm afraid you're not going to work it out the way I want you to. I know you died on the cross, and I know you came to rescue me, but I'm not sure I can trust you with this one. This is a little too much at stake, too much on the table here for me to let go and let the God of this universe, who created everything and created me and knows every hair on my head and named every star in the universe and the planets, holds it all together, keeps this little globe turning and revolving at the rate it needs to so that gravity can happen and we're not floating off into space. Put us the same distance, the right distance, a safe distance from the sun so we don't get burned to a crisp. And the moon, so that life can be carried out and lived out on this planet. We could go on and on about this God that's amazing and awesome and all that he's done to prove to us that we can trust him. And he just keeps saying, oh, ye of little faith, I would love to give you meat. When do you think you're going to be ready for meat? When do you think you're going to be ready for the deep end of the pool? When do you think you're going to be holy enough? I mean, how holy do you have to be before the Holy Spirit shows up when you cry out? How fearful do you need to be? See, we got a book called Cracking the Man Code, and you've been hearing me teach about this for years. And basically that means that we got a man code that's contrary to our best interests. We grow up with that man code. The man code says you can't say you're weak, you can't show weakness. You can't say, I don't know. You can't say, I'm hurting. You can't say, I have a need. You can't say, could you help me? I mean, that's why it's so hard for missionaries. I've seen a lot of guys that want to go on the mission field, but they want to be self-supporting, self-sustaining. Now, Paul did that, but he did it for the right reason. I think a lot of missionaries don't want, a lot of guys that are missionaries don't want to have to go out and ask people to support them. Don't want to have to go and say, would you support our ministry? Whether it be a wheelchair ministry or a campus ministry, like we got guys over at UCI ministering to students from all over the world. We got Gustavo going back to the Philippines, and not one of them is up to budget. Not one of them has the budget that they need, and yet we have plenty of money in our pockets. That's like the pastor says, we got all the money we need to accomplish our mission here in this church. Unfortunately, most of it's still in your pocket. There's no need for that or no reason for that being the case. Amen? And so you're not, let me just get on this. I didn't plan it, but I think the Lord did. Tithing. You're not tithing because you just don't, you know, if tithing were, and it's not a New Testament standard to tithe 10%. We find that over in the Old Testament. And in the New Testament it says, give as the Lord has given to you. Give generously. As he's given to you, whatever you determine to give. So it's not, for some people, it's 3%. For other people, it's 20% or more. What is it for you? But see, if when we say to the Lord, Lord, I can hardly pay my bills this month. You know why? Because you hadn't been trusting him. What would happen if you just trusted him by faith? What would happen if you just said, I'm going to do what God said do, and if I perish, I perish. But I'm going to trust God in his promises. Not just in the area of finances, although that's a big one for guys. I mean, as a missionary starting out with a young family, I'd pay my bills and I wouldn't know how I was going to live the rest of the month. I got an $8 paycheck one month. I'm not whining. Maybe I'm whining. I mean, we got to be honest here, right? Susan said when we left raising funds as fundraising missionaries to take a regular salary in a church as a pastor. She said, oh, I'm so disappointed. And I said, why? She says, because now we're getting a regular salary, know what's coming in every month. We're not going to get to see God do all the miracles he's done for the last 16 years to provide for us. The world was not worthy of her. Neither was I. So we get to this place where we don't want to be hearing Jesus say, why did you doubt me? Should you be walking on water now instead of sinking in the waves? Because right now we have a world that's sinking beneath the waves. And God needs some guys that are walking on water. Everybody's got circumstances. Everybody has suffering. Everybody has tribulation. Everybody has trials and problems and trouble. Everybody. Look at the guy next to you and go, he's talking to you again. God wants us to be spiritual men. Could I not speak to you as spiritual men, but as men of flesh, infants in Christ? We need some guys who are tired of being infants. We're tired of being men of flesh, being carnal, being doubtful all the time, afraid to step out, afraid to take a risk, afraid to trust and believe in God's promises. And right now, if there's ever a time in the world's history, in the history of our country, in this nation, in this county and city, if there was ever a time that there was a need for men to walk on water, I'd say it'd be today, especially in America today. America's sinking beneath the waves, guys. We got problems nobody has answers to. Of course, that's the way it has to be before the Antichrist shows up and God wraps this thing up, and we are circling the bowl now as we speak, as they say. But we need men today who believe God is who he says he is, does what he says he will do, and has some guys out there that'll trust him, and if they perish, they perish. If we sink, we sink. If we go bankrupt, we go bankrupt. But they have decided who they are, why they're here, where they're going, and who's going to get them there. They're not confused about their life mission. And they're not infants and carnal, men of the flesh, always doubting, always compromising, always signing peace treaties with the devil, always justifying and rationalizing unholiness and impurity in their life. And sooner or later, at some point, we need a few guys that will just stand up and say, I'm going to stand for Jesus Christ. I'm not going to sink beneath the waves. I want to show a world that is sinking beneath the waves that a man can walk on the water of this life, the water of these circumstances, the water of my trouble. And when you do, they're not impressed with you when you take them to your beautiful facility that your church has. They're not impressed. They got beautiful facilities. I mean, go look at the modern day cathedral, the movie theater. These days, or the mall. They got facilities, especially around us in our neighborhoods. They're not impressed. They're not impressed that you go to church every week, especially if you don't live it during the week. They're not impressed at all. Your children, your family, your grandchildren, they're not impressed when you profess to know Jesus Christ, but you can't walk on water. You're always anxious and worried and doubtful and fearful. They hear the way you talk. They see the things you do. They watch how you treat people. One of the things I was impressed with Steve, he knows every server, every parking lot attendant, all the guys out there that are around that country. He knows them all. I think Jesus would know them all. I think those are the guys he'd hang out with in that environment. So God's calling us to do things that normal men, natural men, carnal men, horizontal men cannot do. He's asking us to walk on water, and he gives us power. When you receive the Holy Spirit, you'll receive power to walk on water. You'll see power to have peace that surpasses all comprehension. You'll have power to be living in the eye of the storm, not blown this way and that way and every other way by your compromise. If you want to ask God for wisdom, James said, ask him. But when you ask, ask without doubting. Because he who doubts is like the waves of the sea, tossed this way and then that way. Let not that man think that he will receive anything from the Lord. Because he's a double-minded man and he's unstable in all his ways. The last thing we need right now is double-minded men who are unstable in all their ways. You can't count on that guy. You know, if crisis comes, if he loses something, if something's taken out of his life, if he has a trouble, a trial, an inconvenience, an irritation, you know how he's going to respond. You know that it's the stuff that'll come flying out of his mouth. I've had guys come to me, and it's one of the saddest things that I get in this ministry. I know that guy's on your team. I know he comes every Friday morning, but you ought to see how he treats people at our workplace. You ought to see how he talks and acts. He walks out that door and he's got a Friday morning men's group on his face here. But when he walks out that door or he goes home to his wife, you ought to see how he treats them. He gets his business face on. He's a businessman that happens to be a Christian rather than a Christian who happens to be a businessman. And we got too many of those. But I think one of the reasons we have too many of those is the men who are in church every Sunday, who may be involved in something the church has going on, are under-challenged. They're under-challenged to be men who can walk on water. We give them way too much sympathy. God is compassionate. Jesus was compassionate. He saw the multitudes and he felt compassion. It broke his heart. He wept over Jerusalem. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem. I would have gathered you in under my wings like a mother hen does her chicks, but you wouldn't let me. You persecuted and killed the prophets that I sent to you. And he wept over that because he knew the judgment that they faced. He knew the life. I came that you might have life and have it abundantly. That's what Jesus Christ came to give guys like us. The abundant life that can only be found in Jesus Christ. And what is that abundant life that he's talking about? I was sitting on the back patio, magnolia trees overhanging the tennis court in my friend's backyard. We just finished a round of tennis that I allowed him to win because he was a supporter. At least that's what I told myself. And he's sitting there. And we're sipping on some lemonade or something. And he goes, man, God has sure given us the abundant life. And I didn't have courage enough as a young whippersnapper missionary that needed his support to say, that ain't what he was talking about. This is not the abundant life he was talking about. He's talking about all this burns down and two of your children burn with it and you're walking on water. That's the abundant life he's talking about. When Job lost it all, and he says, even if he kills me, I love him. That's the abundant life. It's peace that surpasses all comprehension. Peace when there's no reason to have peace. That's abundant life. It's abundant life when you've got patience and goodness and gentleness and joy and kindness. That's the abundant life. When it's more stress-free than the other guys. And they don't understand why you have such peace and you're not upset and you're not getting revenge when you could. You're not suing them, but you could, but you're not. And they go, what is your deal? God wants us to have his life, and he wanted Peter to walk on water. You got to give Peter credit, man. He walked on water. I was talking to a gal one time, and she was going to change America. We're going to win it back, man. We're going after him. I said, really? She said, what do you think? I said, you don't want to hear what I think. I said, what if God has a plan that's different from your plan? What if God doesn't want you taking back America? What if God's done with America? Does he have your permission? And I think we all have to ask ourselves questions like that these days. Am I an American who happens to be a Christian or a Christian who happens to be an American? Where is my citizenship? Is it right here? Am I worried? Am I fearful? Or is my citizenship in heaven or is it here? USA. Sure, we're thankful and proud to be Americans. Greatest civilization that ever came down the pike, and now we're choking on it. Now everything that used to be a strength is a weakness. That's the way it goes. And so we have to remain citizens of heaven, but God's looking for some guys today to walk on water. Now you're in a circumstance today that's no fun. You wouldn't have planned it, and you weren't that prepared for it. I know some of you guys pretty well. I don't know all of you pretty well, but I know some of you pretty well. And I know that if I heard bad news about something that happened to you, if God took something out of your life or put something in your life that you didn't want, that's trouble, even could be life-threatening, financial threatening, threatening your life and home. I have a good friend. Somebody jerked his business out from under him that was funding him. And in the last 5 years, he's lost his home. His children are estranged. And he's having a tough time. It's been tough. I mean, really tough. Nobody would ever wish that on a guy. There are tougher things, but that's tough enough. And he's walking on water. He stays after it. It strained his marriage. It strained his relationship with his children. But I see the guy just walking on water. And I look at that and I go, if someone had told me that all this was going to happen to him, that's exactly what I would have thought. He'll be okay. He'll land on his feet. He's a man of God. Lord, if it's you, if it's really you, command me, order me, You have all authority. You're the military guy. You're the leader of this whole thing. Command me to come and walk on water to you. Come. You know, our problem is we'd never ask him to do that. Peter asked him to do that. Of course, Peter wanted to show the other disciples that it was a competition going on in that boat. He wanted to show the other disciples that he could do this too. He'd be the first to do this. And he was. That gal I was talking to that wants to win America back, she thought the only two guys that ever walked on water was Jesus and Glenn Beck. Some people think it's Jesus and their pastor. Some people think Jesus and other guys. But that's the water that Jesus has us in, is trouble, contrary waters. The wind is blowing against us. It's incompatible to our ability to handle it. Sometimes you're not bringing enough to the table to handle this problem. You can handle a lot of problems, but you can't handle this one. You're not going to beat this storm. You're not going to get the other side of the boat. You've come halfway. You might as well keep trying because it's just as far back as it is ahead of you. But you're not going to get there in your own power or your own ability, your own wisdom. You have no control at this point, and that's the best place you could be. And this is what flies in the face of the old man code. Jesus says, if you want to get into my kingdom, if you want to be one of my disciples, you have to become like a little child. There's nothing in the old man code about coming like a little child. Coming with a faith and the dependence to realize that this is bigger than I can handle. This is more than I brought to the table to be able to deal with. That's your strongest point in your whole life, is when you get to the place where you're nothing and you have nothing to offer. When I was in that father's waiting room and I prayed, God, I prayed the baby would be okay and I prayed Susan would be okay, God brought me to nothing. How much control do you have? I have no control. God works good with nothing. He can't work when I'm full of myself, I'm able, I'm in large and I'm in charge. He just lets us go until we are small and not at all. And so God wants us to be in that place. And if you're the kind of guy that only prays in a crisis, and get ready for a lot of crisis, because that's what he does. But he doesn't have to purposely bring crisis on you. You're alive in this world. He allows it to happen. And God needs you to walk on water right now. Lord, command me to come out of the boat and walk on water with you. Would you pray that this morning in whatever circumstance you find yourself in? Would you ask God to command you to come to him? All Jesus says was, okay, have you counted the cost? But when you get out of the boat, James says, don't get out of the boat doubting. Don't get your eyes off the one that's keeping you walking on water. Because once you get your eyes off of him, you're going to start doubting and you're going to sink. Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, he says, don't start out and say that you're going to build this building and this tower. And then you get halfway through and you don't have the materials to finish. And people go laugh at you and they're going to say, look, you started, but you couldn't finish. And he says, when you get out of the boat, just fix on me. Fix on me. Don't take your eyes off of me. And you can walk all the way to the shore with me, and I'll walk with you. We'll get there. But when you take your eyes off me, and we all have taken our eyes off him, we've all heard him say, oh, ye of little faith. We all have doubted, and we may doubt again, but just remember why you're sinking. You don't need to sink. You don't have to sink. You can walk on the water. You can have the peace. You can have the wisdom you need. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. God will give it to you. He doesn't mind you asking. But when you ask without doubting. Believe his promises. Put that circumstance, your own life, your family, your business, put it all in his hands. You're a steward anyway. It's not yours, it's his anyway. It really helps to put things in his hands when you realize it's not yours anyway. These children are not mine anyway. God gave, God took away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That's just life in Christ. It's no fun. It hurts. But that's what he's called us to be, and that's what he's called us to do. This life is a test. And you've only got one opportunity, guys. Once we've gone, once we've died, we don't have the opportunity to witness to anybody anymore or to walk on the water of our circumstances. It's done. Forgetting what lies behind now, reaching forward to what lies ahead, I want to challenge and encourage you to forget what lies behind. You know what a slap in the face it is for us to keep asking God to forgive us and all the guilt and shame we feel as if that hasn't been forgiven and that He won't forgive us? Oh, yeah. I mean, guys struggle all the time. Yeah, I've done so much. Steve deals with this with a lot of these military guys that have done so much, killed so many, done so many things that they just think God can't forgive them. We heard about that the other day. Steve's dealt with that in his own life. PTSD, all the stuff that goes on. There's some guys that's got PTSD from the jobs they've had. Some have PTSD from the marriage they've been in. That's more wives than husbands, but I think I've overstayed my welcome here. I better close. Would you walk on water today? Would you ask Jesus to command you to get out of the boat? And if you start sinking, go ahead and cry out. He loves to come to our rescue. He came down from heaven to rescue us. You're going to sink beneath the water from time to time. Cry out to God. Lord, save me. Lord, help me. I'm in the Father's waiting room, and I finally said, God, I got nothing left. I got nothing else to pray. I got nothing else will come out. That's all I got. But if I could crawl up in your arms, if I could just be there for a while in your presence, I know everything would be okay. I know I could walk on water. I know you could make me more than a conqueror through Him who loves me and died for me. That's all we need right now. Looking for guys that have become nothing. They realize you don't have any power or strength to handle this life. But if you put your life in His hands, if you'll give your heart to Him, if you'll make it your purpose in life to glorify Him, to honor Him, to talk like He talks, to act like He acts, if you let His Spirit loose in your heart, He'll make you a man that people go, I don't know what you got, but I need it. That's what we need today. Amen?
Amen.
Join hands with a brother there and let's ask God to do that for us. Father, that's what we ask you this morning. Thank you for giving us this beautiful illustration with Peter and the disciples of how we can walk on water as long as our eyes are on you. And we can't if our eyes are off of you. Father, we realize this is a process. You don't get there overnight. You get this success in this by failing a lot. And we understand that. Help us to receive your forgiveness when we're sinking. Come and rescue us when we're crying out. The guys that are crying out this morning, rescue them with your peace, with your grace, with your compassion. And Lord, we want to walk on water to glorify you. And I know we can't get it done if we're there to glorify ourselves. But to honor and glorify you, to show people what a great God we have, what a wonderful Savior we have in Jesus Christ. And it's in His name that we pray, and all God's men said.
Amen.
Give them heaven, guys.